بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all everyone who's joined us today, brothers, sisters, elders, youngsters. جزاكم الله خيرا for giving us your time. Precious time. It's an awkward time, Saturday, especially in England. This is not usually the time where you study. But subhanAllah, Allah reward you for your sacrifice and your efforts in His path. And inshallah, this is what we're going to be speaking about as well, the importance of knowledge and the virtues and what that can do for us, inshallah. So, yeah, after introductions or what we'll do, inshallah, is I want to talk a little about what we're going to be studying for the next 8 or so weeks, inshallah. And as you can see from the first slide, it says Etiquette of the Learner by Ibn Jama'a al-Kinani. So before we actually speak about the book, speak about the author, what you might have noticed before beginning the lesson, I read something very brief in Arabic. For those who are aware, who understand Arabic, you'll understand what that was. For those who are not accustomed with the Arabic language, I'm pretty sure you'll still understand if you've heard the Jumu'ah khutbah or any talk. The scholar usually begins his discussion with these couple of lines, and they're very, very, very important, especially in the line of, in the field of deen. So what did we actually begin with? The first thing we did was Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, beginning in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing we did was praise Allah. And the third thing we're going to do, inshallah, excuse the question mark, that's supposed to be a subhanahu wa ta'ala or azza wa jal, but subhanallah, man. Moving these files around from one computer to a tablet, and subhanAllah, sometimes these things happen. So apologies if there's any funny characters on the screen. That's not intentional. So forgive me for that. Right. So the third thing we're going to be doing is Salat and Salam. Salat and Salam upon our beloved messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Since this lesson is going to be about etiquette, I might bring up these things and as a reminder, because this is what etiquette is, inshallah. So when we hear the name of the Prophet Muhammad, we say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and subhanallah, it's you making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah is giving you 10 reward in return. Subhanallah, you know, who could have a more, could there ever be a more generous Lord, subhanallah. So salat and salam, sending peace and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All things, obviously, we need to prove or establish through the Sharia. And inshallah, we will try and do that in this course. As subhanAllah, we're going to be studying the deen. And so we must try our utmost best to make sure what we receive. And what we're doing is sanctioned in the Sharia. So there is a hadith which begins like this: "Kullu amrin dhi balin." Kullu amrin dhi balin. And there's quite a few variations of this hadith. So the first hadith is "Kullu amrin dhi balin la yubda'u fiha or fihi bismillah fahuwa aqta," which means any action worth doing, if it is not initiated with the basmala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, fahuwa aqta, then it is incomplete, it's void. What does it mean by incomplete? Because you might start an action and actually complete it. So what does it mean by incomplete? The scholars explain it is void of any barakah, of any blessings. So this is why we start with bismillah. Subhanallah, there's a variation of this narration, which says, "Kullu amrin dhi balin la yubda'u fihi bihamdillah fahuwa aqta." Any action worth doing, kullu amrin dhi balin, dhi bal means important, something worth doing. If there's something absolutely useless, you don't stand there and start doing the khutbah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wassalatu wassalamu alayhi. We don't do that in useless activities or activities that are there for, you know, just for fun or entertainment. This is the bal, things actually worth doing. So subhanAllah, the second narration, the first one was "Kullu amrin dhi balin la yubda'u fihi bismillahi rahman rahim fahuwa aqta." The second variation, "Kullu amrin dhi balin la yubda' fihi bihamdillah fahuwa aqta." And then subhanAllah, the third, there's another variation mentioned in the hadith, "Kullu amrin dhi balin la yubda'u fihi bis-salati alayya fahuwa aqta." Every action worth doing, if it is not initiated with salat and salam upon me, salati alayya, salat upon me, fahuwa aqta, then it is void of barakah. And so what we'll do, inshallah, this is how I usually conduct my lessons when we're studying in madrasa. I usually read line by line Durud Ibrahimi, as they call it in Urdu, or the Salat and Salam Ibrahimi. And the students usually repeat after me, but it's kind of going to be a bit awkward here online. So inshallah, if everyone takes a minute less to recite this, and inshallah, hopefully, we'll begin every lesson with salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Right, so subhanAllah, we do this because one thing you need to remember is we would not have what we have or be who we are if it wasn't for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of this that we're reading, we're studying, we're benefiting from, anything that makes us good or great, subhanallah, we would not have it if had it not been for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, bismillah. Objectives. Let's talk about what we hope to learn over the next 8 or so weeks, inshallah. So the first thing, hoping to gain an understanding of the excellence of knowledge, scholars and students, so we have an appreciation for those things and we do not disrespect them. Sometimes, inadvertently, without intending to do so, we may say something or do something whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become very angry at us. We might not intend to do it, And for that, you know, you're obviously not going to incur the same amount of sin if you were to do it with intention. But nonetheless, the price for ignorance is still a heavy price. So knowing the virtues and the excellence of knowledge, scholars and students, inshallah, we will learn to appreciate those things. Try to be patient with those people or those things, you know, with scholars and students. It's probably a bit cliche. Well, I'm still a student, so be patient with me. Inshallah, we're all students. We will we learn from each other. If there's a mistake, please let me know, inshallah. But we need to be patient. SubhanAllah, one of my teachers, the Sheikh who taught me Sahih al-Bukhari, Sheikh Muhammad Adam Lunat, Hafidhullah, Allah give him a long life. He calls the students, in Urdu they call it Mehmani Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I absolutely love that term, Mehmani Rasul, the guests of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason why he says that was because, in effect, the first madrasa or university in Islam was in Medina, in the masjid of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was called Suffa. You know, Ashab al-Suffa, the people of Suffa, they were very poor people. And they dedicated their lives to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would not go home. They lived there. They stayed there. That's what they did. And they were there listening to every word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and writing everything down, jotting everything down, remembering things. And that was their job. But they were very poor. And so they were, in effect, the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anytime the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received anything sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would send food to Ashab al-Suffa. So my teacher, he calls all students Mehmani Rasul, the guests, the Duyuf al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I think is absolutely beautiful. Now, the reason why he says that is he tries to encourage people to understand what the students have given up for the deen is a big deal. It's not easy. And I'm sure many of us can relate. We have so many roles and responsibilities, and I need to do this. I need to get a job. I need to study. You know, subhanAllah, now I need to get married. Every single time you want to start studying. But subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allah gave the tawfiq to some people to take that on. And we should respect them or appreciate their efforts. So the first objective is to appreciate knowledge, scholars and students. The second objective, to gain a good understanding of adab in Islam, just general adab. We will kind of mention some adab which are not specific to studying, teaching and learning. And subhanAllah, the legacy of adab, it's a rich legacy, subhanAllah, which brings us to the next point. Hopefully we will look in depth into that legacy of adab, etiquette and respect from the companions and the earliest Muslims. These are our role models, inshallah, and you can have role models later, but we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the Sahaba, and then what we know as the Salaf al-Salihun, the earliest Muslims, because they are the ones who studied under the companions, who studied under the students of the companions, and they understood the deen the most. They appreciated it the most. So inshallah, we'll look at the how they used to behave. Another thing we're going to do is try and inshallah apply these concepts of adab and etiquette to the 21st century. SubhanAllah, we're all sitting in a dars at the moment. We're studying in a halaqah. But no two of us are in the same place at the same time. So, subhanAllah, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate ease in studying. We have very few excuses left, but subhanAllah, again, even though I'm sitting away from you and you are all in your own places, We still need to understand there's still some etiquettes. There's still some behavior, certain types of behavior we should not engage in. And inshallah, we'll speak further about that a little further on, inshallah. So course content, what are we going to go through? Tadhkiratu Sami' is the name of the book, which I had the honor of translating some years ago. This is what the book looks like in Arabic. This is one of the copies, right? Tadhkiratu Sami' wal Mutakallim fi Adab al Alim wal Muta'allim, right? So we're going to be having a look at this book here. This is one of the copies. You can buy this from these kind of these books from anywhere, inshallah. So Tadhkiratu Sami' wal Mutakallim fi Adab al Alim wal Muta'allim, but we're not just going to discuss that. Alhamdulillah, a lot of serious students, they always on the lookout for a reading list or a literature review. And so we'll give a brief list of other books in the field that you can consult, inshallah, if you want further reading. Another thing we're going to discuss is the author, whose name is Ibn Jama'a al-Kinani. We'll discuss virtues of seeking knowledge. Hopefully that will be next week. SubhanAllah, what's the time? Oh, SubhanAllah, we're running out. The way the lesson's going to go, I think it's mentioned here somewhere anyway, that we'll have 45 minutes of lesson and then 15 minutes question and answers, inshallah. So I think I'm already taking too long. So virtues of seeking knowledge. After that, etiquette, of a person within himself. So personal etiquette, followed by etiquette with instructors, i.e. teachers. How should you behave with teachers? Followed by etiquette during lectures. And then etiquette with learning material and stationery, books, pens, things like that. SubhanAllah, some of the things that Ibn Jama'a mentions is absolutely mind-boggling. Like, you wouldn't think about it. But SubhanAllah, it's all commensurate to a person's taqwa. The more you have importance for something, you will deal with it in the right way. If you have absolutely no respect for something, a piece of paper or a book, a different, whatever kind of book, you'll toss it behind your back. But the book that means the world to you, SubhanAllah, I've seen people kiss a book. I've seen them put it on their head. I've seen them wrap it up in a nice nice cover. I've seen them get special wrap put over it, and they'll look after it and they'll put it in a high place, in a clean place near the Quran. So it's all commensurate to the importance that you have for knowledge in your heart. There we go. Okay, etiquette in the institute. This will definitely not apply to us. And it could do. Just try not to abuse Zoom, I guess. But we don't have an institute here. But maybe Wise, send them a message. Thank them. Try not to annoy them in any way. Try not to get banned for something. SubhanAllah. So etiquette in the institute. Right. So the duration, approximately 8 to 10 weeks, depending on how long it's going to take each lesson, each section. And each session, will be 45 minutes plus 15 minutes of Q&A. Method of assessment, no tests. Yay, SubhanAllah. None of you are going to be examined or tested. That should put a smile on a lot of faces, inshallah. Requirements. So now this is not strictly a requirement. It would be amazing if you could all get the text of Etiquette of the Learner, because we're not going to be able to mention everything that is mentioned in the book, and there's absolutely some amazing gems in there. So if you can get it, try and get it, inshallah. Literature on etiquette. Let's have a look at some of these here. So Imam Al-Jurri, 4th century Hijri. He's got a book called Akhlaq al-Ulama. Ibn Fawrak, according to some people. 5th century alim, Sharh al-Alim wal-Mutaallim, Bahjatul Majalis by Ibn Abd al-Barr, 5th century, Al-Jami' li-Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami', Khatib al-Baghdadi, a famous book in this field. So that's a popular one, Al-Jami' li-Akhlaq al-Rawi. I don't think any of these have been translated in English, so if any of you can read Arabic, have a look at these books, inshallah. Ta'lim al-Mutaallim, Tariq al-Ta'allum, Fi Tariq al-Ta'allum, by Imam al-Zarnuji. This is quite popular among students. They study this quite often. Adab al-Fatwa wal-Mufti wal-Mustafti by Imam Nawawi, the famous Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi has a couple of books on this field. He's got one specifically for the adab that you should have the student who is studying the Quran. At-Tibyan fi adabi hamalat al-Quran, if I'm not mistaken. That's specifically adab with the Quran. So that's another famous book you should try and get. Adab al-Talib wa Muntaha al-Adab, Imam al-Shawkani. And this one, Min Adab al-Islam, subhanAllah, it's an etiquette book general etiquette in all walks of life. But it's absolutely amazing. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, who passed away in 1997, the famous Syrian scholar, Min Adab al-Islam, and this has been translated. I would recommend you all get that. Everyone should have that book in their library, inshallah. To also appreciate knowledge, Jami'u Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadli. Apologies, there's a mistake here. It says Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. This is not written by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. This is written by Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki. Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki. Jami'u Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadli. Okay, so the book. The book is titled Tadhkiratu Sami' wal-Mutakallim fi Adab al-Alim wal-Mutaallim, which translates as Memorandum of the Listener and the Speaker on the Etiquette of the Scholar and the Learner. Right. It's translated into English and published by Turath Publishers under the title Etiquette of the Learner. So, Etiquette of the Learner, the original content is for teachers and students. So, this book here, half of it, is for teachers, the second half is for students. Adab for teachers, adab for students, right? However, we translated just the student section. Reason being, I was teaching at the time, still am, and we thought at that time, we want to give something to the students, although there's something absolutely necessary for teachers too, but we didn't want to print it together because what ends up happening is then you get pointy fingers. So the student will be reading and he'll be like, okay, these are the adab of the teachers. Now let me see which of these adab my teachers are not doing. And so we thought that might be a bit problematic. Inshallah, we'll do a separate publication for that. But for those of you who can read Arabic, subhanAllah, have a look, get the Arabic, and you can check out the section on the teachers. But what we did, we stuck to the students section. What was the reason for translating this book, and why did we, well, the reason why we abridged it, as I mentioned. What was the reason for translating it? Now, personally, when I began studying, and I enrolled in a Darul Uloom seminary here in Leicester. I used to conduct myself in a way which I thought was appropriate, and I thought I was being good and respectful. But I quickly found out that, misjudgment, big time. And sometimes I would do things and say things and be reprimanded for it or told off, or you shouldn't be doing that. And I used to think to myself, well, you know, you're going a bit over the top here. It's a bit extreme. But subhanAllah, I started to look at our teachers, our scholars, the great scholars, the ones who have impeccable akhlaq, so much respect and reverence for the deen and love and respect for the students. And I started to gravitate towards those teachers. And I used to see those teachers, the way they treated their teachers. And subhanAllah, it left a lasting impression in me. And I remember while we were studying, some teachers used to mention it. There was one teacher in particular, Mawlana Imran Sahib. He always used to take time out every single day to mention points like this. But then there were some intricate fine details that people can't sit you down and explain to you, but you kind of have to read between the lines and follow cues. Now, I made mistakes, plenty of mistakes. As anyone who's taking this course, if they know me, I'm sure they'll know. But subhanAllah, the patience of a teacher is subhanAllah, you know, there's nothing that can replace it. And so through their patience and their advice and their help, this concept of etiquette really had a profound effect on me. And what happened after that is, alhamdulillah, I got the opportunity to teach. And I found myself stressing about that a lot with the students. And we came across this book. This book was quite famous. And so I took the book and I started to read it myself. I thought, let me have a look at it. And really, subhanAllah, I fell in love with it. We started... So embarking on the path of knowledge, teaching new students, I started to teach it. And here's another reason why we decided. So I had been teaching this for a couple of years before I ever considered to translate it. And then, subhanAllah, we were discussing it with one of the publishers, and they mentioned that there was a recommendation from Mufti Taqi Uthmani from Pakistan, a great scholar, subhanAllah. And he was recommending that someone translate it. So, I mean, half of the job was already done. And subhanAllah, so that's why we took it further. Now, what we need to understand is this is the way of the Salaf, right? Learning etiquette and adab before you learn ilm, before you learn hadith and fiqh and tafsir. Etiquette was the first port of call. There was a quote, I absolutely love this quote, and I asked them to put it on the poster, quote of Imam Malik, that Imam Malik says that when I came of age, my mother wrapped a turban around my head. Now, that's strictly speaking, the turban might not be a strict sunnah, but you notice many scholars wear it. This is the reason, because it's become a sign of a scholar the world over from those days up until now. So these are the days of the Salaf that it became a sign of a scholar to wear an amama. So he says, my mother put the amama around my head and she said, now go to Rabi'a's gathering and learn from his adab before you learn hadith and fiqh from him, subhanAllah. So this was always, and this quote you'll find in Ibn Abdul Barr's book, At-Tamheed. So this is the important point that, subhanAllah, for the Salaf al-Salihun, that was always number one. That was what they had to figure out first before they could go on. The author, Imam Badruddin Ibrahim ibn Sa'adullah ibn Jama'a al-Kinani, 8th century scholar. He was a muhaddith, a faqih, a mufassir. Some information about him, he was born in Syria, a city called Hama, which is north of Damascus. And subhanAllah, he began studying in Hama. And he excelled so quickly, that by the age of seven, his teachers gave him ijazat. in hadith and you know other funun as well. Some of his teachers, for example, Rashid ibn Maslama, gave him ijaza at the age of 7. He also studied in Damascus, Jerusalem, Alexandria, and he studied things like fiqh, usul al-fiqh, principles of fiqh, tafsir, exegesis, nahwa, language, rhetoric, and ilm al-bayan and ma'ani, and things like that. After studying, he taught at a famous school in the area, Qaymariya area. Qaymariya is the name of an institute in Damascus. So he taught there. After he taught there, he was offered the role of judge in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. After that, he was offered the role of judge in Egypt. Thereafter in Sham, they called him to be a judge, and then back to Egypt again. Subhanallah, he was highly sought after, is what we learn from that. What are some of the places or the area or the schools where he taught? So Qaymariya, as we mentioned, he also taught in an institute, Salihiyya, another one called Nasiriyya. A university, Jami' ibn Tulun, which is in Cairo, Kamiliya. He also taught in, they call it Azawiya, but it was an institute, Mansuba li Shafi'i Institute, which was attributed to Imam Shafi'i. He taught there. After some time, he became ill, and his health did not permit him to carry on teaching. But according to some scholars, he still would give some verdicts from his home. And he had become blind by that point, subhanAllah. So he remained in his home, but he did continue teaching. People would flock to his house. And subhanAllah, this is what you see the world over even today. There's some people, they absolutely go mad when a big scholar or a famous scholar or a scholar known for his piety comes to town. You will see thousands and thousands of people flocking to them. So people used to flock to his house, and he never used to actually teach. In the early days, the way people used to study was, especially in the time of the Salaf, Mutaqaddimin, is instead of the teacher teaching, the students would read to them. So someone, for example, in the time of Imam Malik, they would come to Imam Malik and they would say, I have your Mu'atta here. I want to read to you. And Imam Malik would sit and they would read. It's not like nowadays, it's kind of like, you know, so that was the way of the Mutaqaddimin. Mutaakhirin, it kind of changed over time where the teacher keeps speaking. In fact, next week, I think you guys should do all the work, and I'll sit here and just listen to you guys. I'm just joking. Yeah, that wasn't funny. But yeah, so people used to come to his house and they used to read to him, and he used to just sit and listen. He would begin the lesson with the khutbah as we did, eloquently. But after that, he wouldn't teach, and the students would read. And that's the way his lessons would go. Subhanallah, Imam Nawawi, Imam Zahabi speaks highly of him. Imam Zahabi speaks very highly of him and said he's a very great scholar that has has many books and works in different fields. As we said, he was a muhaddith, a faqih, and a mufassir. Some of his teachers include Qadi Burhanuddin ibn Jama'ah, which was his father, Ibn Razin, Ibn Malik, excuse me. As we mentioned, he was a chief justice in Cairo and Damascus. Pious scholar and teacher, subhanAllah. Imam Nawawi, you must have all heard of Imam Nawawi. He based a lot of his fatwas on Ibn Jama'ah's foundations and principles. As is mentioned in the books of Asma al-Rijal, So subhanAllah, you know, sometimes, you know, as we say, or the famous saying goes, if I have seen further, it is only by standing on the shoulders of giants. So subhanAllah, the people who became so known, they got so high. It's because they were standing on the shoulders of giants like Ibn Jama'ah, subhanAllah. So pious scholar and teacher, an example of his piety, it's mentioned about Ibn Jama'ah that he studied in a seminary. When he became a teacher and he looked at the rules and regulations of public endowments, which is waqf, right? So you have waqf is a system where the state will put money into an institute and everyone is then funded by the state. But, or you have to have a set, a specific guidelines, meet certain criteria and conditions for you to be able to be eligible. So when he became a teacher, he glanced at the rules and regulations of the public endowment and he noticed that there was a condition that if you were to be, if you were to take money from the endowment and make use of this institute, you have to be boarding at the institute. But Ibn Jama'ah wasn't boarding. So subhanAllah, he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He calculated the amount of money he would have had to have paid in fees. And he gave all of that back to the state, subhanAllah. At that point, if you got through the system and it was done, you think, who's going to ask? Who's going to find out? SubhanAllah, some people have that in their heart. And Ibn Jama'ah was one of them. It's mentioned that when he was replaced as a judge by Jalaluddin al-Qazwini, you know, being replaced by someone else, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts our pride. But subhanAllah, it's mentioned about him that he, at the time he was in Egypt, Ibn Jama'ah, he got on his camel and he rode all the way to Salihiyya, the institute there in the institute where Jalaluddin al-Qazwini had become the judge, only to greet him and offer his congratulations and to offer congratulations for receiving the job. And then he left for nothing else. That's purely why he went. And the scholars say this was a sign of his tawadu. It's also mentioned that many people attended his funeral. He was buried close to Imam Shafi'i's grave, and he was 94 years of age when he passed away. Among his students, Imam Tajuddin al-Subki, very famous student, scholar. So why do we learn or why do we study and talk about Ibn Jama'ah or the Musannif or the author when we're studying the book? Is to appreciate them, what they went through, and also to make dua for them. So we say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest level of Firdaus al-A'la, reward him on behalf of everyone who benefits even an iota from this book. And may Allah make his time on Yawm al-Qiyamah easy and a breeze, and us with him as well, inshallah. Ameen. Right, so there's a couple of pertinent points. I don't think we're going to get through these things, so I think we'll maybe just begin the first one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the gauge. What do we mean by that? The Quran and Hadith is the first port of call. It's our usul, our principles, our sources. That's where we go to. So even in the field of etiquette, we have to see if what we're encouraging is in line with the Quran and Sunnah. Now, the Sunnah, the Quran, not just the Sunnah, subhanAllah, some of the longest verses in the Quran are not about things to do with Iman or Jannah, Yawm al-Qiyamah. They're regarding interactions with people, subhanAllah, and adab. Verse after verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct us and say, this is the way you're supposed to be. Like, subhanAllah, someone once came outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and started calling out to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, Surah Hujurat. This is bad adab. You don't go outside the Prophet's house and start shouting to him and come out. On another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just got married to Zainab radiallahu anha, and he was waiting for the guests to leave the house. And the guests sat there, they ate, but they kept sitting and talking and talking and talking. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so bashful and shy, and he didn't want to make a scene, that he just left the room and came back, and they were still sitting there. Till a point came where Allah revealed verses on his behalf, and he said, the Prophet is shy, he will not say anything to you, but Allah does not shy away from the truth. And Allah revealed verses to say, when you are invited to a dinner, you eat and go. Don't sit there waiting for gossip and chatter and things like that. So subhanAllah, not only the Sunnah, but the Quran is filled with examples of adab. Ibn Uyayna, rahimullah, famous scholar, said that all things will be measured against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his manner. Whatever accords with his manner will be true, and whatever contradicts it will be false. Right, so we've hit 5 o'clock, and I don't think I should be carrying on any further. We've got 5 minutes of question and answers. I'm just going to close the let's come back here. It's been recording. Okay, stop sharing. Okay, that's done. Hold on a moment. Just yep. Okay. Sorry. Someone said, would you recommend for us to get a copy of the Kitab to assist in our learning? I would recommend you get the book for your own knowledge. And like I said, not everything that we go through in these lessons. We're not going to be able to get through everything which is in the book on these lessons. So yeah, definitely we recommend you get the book, but you don't necessarily need the book as we're working through these lessons, inshallah. So I think I should just ask if anyone has any questions before we say, will this session be recorded for us to go through it again later? I'm pretty sure it will. It is being recorded, and you can go back and access it, inshallah. Any other questions?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If anyone have any questions, inshallah, they can unmute and then speak up, inshallah, so that it will be an interactive session. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's only translated in English. In Urdu, I'm not sure, actually. Maybe in Urdu, maybe not. But only translated in English. SubhanAllah, if any of you want to translate into a different language, I'm pretty sure Durath Publishing would be more than happy to accept.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I wanted to ask, how exactly do we stay consistent with studies? I find myself having great difficulty in that. that I manage to study a lot more some days, and some days it's just not possible to touch a book, especially at home.
Yeah, subhanAllah. No, one thing I've noticed is I was supposed to mention this in later on in the course, but we in this lesson, but we didn't get through to it. Next week, inshallah, is I know it's difficult, but you need to kind of commit yourself to a certain time and fix that time and let nothing get in the way of that time. This is the issue. Like one of my teachers gave me an example with the dhikr and salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recitation of the Quran. And he said, he asked some of us, when do you pray, for example, Surah Yasin, Surah Waqi'ah, things like that. So I, thinking I'm going to be clever, I said, yeah, subhanAllah, when I'm on my way to work, that's when I recite it. And I got told off. He told me off. I thought he was going to congratulate me and be like, mashallah, man, you're doing multitasking, mashallah, you're walking to work and you're praying your daily qira'ah. And subhanAllah, he responded that if a day comes, for example, the weekend, and you're not walking to work, subhanAllah, is that your day off then for your recitation? So I know, brother, it will be difficult, but if you fix a time and try and stick to that time and make it an occasion, then subhanAllah, our mindsets will change too then. It won't just be when I get some time, but you have that on your list of priorities. So subhanAllah, my teacher told me, if you fix 10 minutes and you say, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to read Quran, or I'm going to do my awrad and azkar, and subhanAllah, and you try and stick to that, then it'll happen every day. Otherwise, if you're going to just fit it in around your timetable, there's no ahmiyyah, there's no importance given to it. And subhanAllah, that's when shaitan comes in and will be like, well, you were busy today, so you couldn't do it. It's all good, right? It's just shaitan's ploy. So a specific amount of time, a week, fix a day, or, you know, study with someone, or if it's just studying a book, but fix a day and fix an amount. SubhanAllah, this is another thing. One of the shuyukhs asked, why do we have numbers, you know, amounts like 33, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Now, of course, that's from the sunnah, the 33, but some other numbers, why do we have these numbers? Is because shaitan will, if you're not counting, then your nafs and shaitan will say, I'm sure you've already hit 100. Minor, don't worry about it. It's okay. You've hit 100. But subhanAllah, if you have that fixed amount, whether it's studying, whether it's awrad, azkar, you do that amount. Then after that, if you want to do anything extra, subhanAllah, that's on you. But you will stick to that necessary amount. If that, hopefully, inshallah, I hope that helps you, inshallah. But I'm sure most of us have this issue. We'd like to study. We really do. We love the deen and we want to study more. But subhanAllah, we can't. And Allah make it easy for you, brother. Allah make it easy. Allah give you tawfiq.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh.
Barakallah fi. Wa iyyakum.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Is Wise Academy is planning to teaching about humbly fiqh and aqeedah?
I'm pretty sure they are. Brother Muhammad Khalid might know better about that. I know definitely there's going to be fiqhi lessons. Aqaid, without a doubt, there's going to be. I think Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera is going to be, teaching. I think gradually, inshallah, that's the idea. There's going to begin with I think there's going to be a Shafi'i fiqh, there's going to be a Hanafi fiqh. Eventually, I'm pretty sure there'll be Hanbali fiqh too. But if you go on the website, inshallah, hopefully there'll be updates about what the courses are, inshallah. This is the first one, and it's appropriate that we begin with this is that coming back to front? SubhanAllah, I keep holding this up and I think it's been a waste of time. It's back to front, SubhanAllah. This lesson is more than a lesson. It's hopefully a reminder, just a discussion between us, inshallah, so that when you get to the real scholars and the real topics, inshallah, you'll be ready and primed.
Yes, and jazakumullahu khair.
Wa yakum barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum. There seems to be a question directly put to me, which I will read, inshallah, for you. It is like, what is a good starting point for a beginner seeking knowledge? How can one avoid procrastination when learning?
SubhanAllah. There's some du'as mentioned in... what I would say, instead of just giving you advice, the first and foremost thing is make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt, first of all. Because we seem to think that we've got the answers and then we have no tawakkul or faith in Allah, and we end up failing like that. So number one, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, try and, for those of you who have local masajid or madaris, try and commit yourself to something. If you commit yourself to something, that's going to be an extra reason for you to go. If you don't commit, if you just say, yeah, when I get a chance, I'll get on it. If I'm free, then I'll log on. SubhanAllah. Then obviously you're setting yourself up for failure. So as we mentioned to the brother before, this shaitan, the nafs, these are all things that don't want us to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen. If we're doing things, hopefully throughout the weeks, we will be reading things in here that will be able to help you, inshallah. So sometimes, is it because of our sins? Is it because of that? Are we praying salah properly? Are we reading Quran properly? Or is there something external that we're not supposed to be doing that's having an impact and preventing us from accessing the deen? So yeah, inshallah, but we'll read more some of the things that should help you. Procrastination is a big point in here as well. Just to understand, SubhanAllah, when, you know, if you think about when COVID happened, right? And in everyone's mind, when it first began, you think, yeah, SubhanAllah, a couple of months ago, right? Nope, it's going 2.5 to 3 years now, SubhanAllah. So think about how quick time goes. And before you know it, SubhanAllah, we're going to be gone. We're going to be in the grave. You know, a lot of us have started studying, and now, SubhanAllah, our kids are going to madaris and schools, and they're growing up so fast. And try and think about things like that, you know, time. Oh, another thing, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda has got a book called Qimatu Zaman Inda al-Ulama, which is an amazing book. Get that book, inshallah, and it's translated into English, Value of Time by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. If we get a good value, a good understanding of the value of time, inshallah, that'll help us to avoid procrastination, inshallah. I hope that helps, inshallah.
Anyone else have any questions? Please ask,
inshallah. I think someone had a question here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What will be our task or approach for the rest of the week, as we will have session on Saturdays only? SubhanAllah. Right, okay. I mean, for this lesson specifically, I mean, I was going to mention from one of the adab that scholars encourage is before a lesson to always do forward reading. And I was going to suggest that at the end of this session, but this session hasn't even been complete yet. So we'll do that next week. But forward reading, if you have the book, if not, have a look at some literature on the topic. After that, once the lesson is done, you should go over